This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV nationwide and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates. Nebraska's Public Service Commissioners met on Monday for their last hearing over the Keystone XL pipeline, holding the fate of the controversial fossil fuel project in their hands. Nebraskans were joined by hundreds of environmental and indigenous activists over the weekend for a major protest in Lincoln to, quote, give Keystone XL the boot. Nebraska is one of several states that the Keystone XL pipeline would cross if built. The pipeline had become the major focus of environmental groups under the previous administration until President Obama was pressured to squash it. Upon entering the White House earlier this year, Donald Trump revived the project. My guest is Joy Braun. She is a frontline community organizer for the Indigenous Environmental Network. She's worked closely with Bold Nebraska, Sierra Club, and 350.org to organize the protest that took place over the weekend. And the last we spoke with her, it was about the Standing Rock protests against the Dakota Access Pipeline earlier this year. Welcome back to the program, Joy.
Hi, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us. So you are currently, we're speaking to you on Monday, you're currently in Nebraska at the hearing, or right outside the hearing where Nebraska's Public Service Commissioners are meeting. Before we get to what happened over the weekend, let's talk about the hearing itself. What exactly is happening at the hearing, and what are Nebraska's commissioners charged with doing?
Nebraska's commissioners are charged with deciding which route or no route for the Keystone XL pipeline to go through the state of Nebraska. They have the choice of the proposed route, which kind of cuts through the state of Nebraska, or they can choose to go down the Keystone One pipeline route, which is on the eastern side of the state of Nebraska, where the current Keystone One tar sands pipeline is, or they can choose no route at all. So that's what they're deciding during this week-long Public Service Commission hearing, is to decide the fate of Keystone XL.
And if they decide to not give the approval, does that mean the pipeline is over?
Yeah, it would definitely mean that, TransCanada could appeal the process. Mm-hmm. If they appeal, it could go through, you know, another year or two. Hopefully, if they do try to do that, we can keep them off until we get a different president in and just say no to Keystone XL.
And TransCanada being the Canadian company that would build the pipeline, right?
Exactly. TransCanada is the Canadian company that would build the pipeline.
So are the hearings packed? Are there people, members of the public that are watching these proceedings? Do you have any sense of which way the commissioners might be swaying?
Well, it's just the first day. So it's just the first day of deliberations. TransCanada can put their cause forward. There's a lot of different interveners, including Bold Nebraska, Sierra Club, Yankton Sioux Tribe, and of course individual interveners that are in there, and they all have different lawyers, so it's going to take a little bit of back and forth of what they're going to be doing. It's just the first day, so it's hard for me to gauge what those commissioners are going to say or do right now, but there are a lot of people here. There is a lot of public here. There's about 100 people here, and for a public service commission, a lot of people.
So it's the first day of the last set of hearings, right? This is the last decision that the commissioners would make, and that decision could come as early as this Friday.
It could come as early as the end of Friday. Very doubt that it would. They have until, I believe, November 28th to make any final decision.
So what happened over the weekend in Lincoln, Nebraska? Hundreds of people, yourself and others, rallied. Tell us a little bit about those protests and what was the main message?
Well, it was to give the boot to Keystone XL. Of course, this is Nebraska, and this is farmer and rancher territory. A large part of Nebraska is. And so it was to give the boot to Keystone XL. Protectors and land defenders, farmers, ranchers, moms, dads, everybody came in all across from Nebraska, as far away as from Alaska and Wisconsin and Minnesota and South Dakota. And a lot of the tribes came up from South Dakota, from Cheyenne River and from Rosebud came down. Yankton Sioux tribe came down. The tribes here in Nebraska, Ponca, Winnebago, they came down. So there was about 600 people that rallied outside of the state capitol here in Lincoln. And then they marched around the block to let TransCanada and their lawyers know that they're not wanted here.
What was also the message with respect to solar? Because some activists were holding up signs saying yes to solar, no to Keystone. Why was that an important message?
Well, we've tried a lot of different ways of telling TransCanada that they're not wanted here along the route. And some of the local farmers, longtime pipeline fighters, have now put up solar panels in the path of the proposed Keystone XL pipeline route. And this is part of the message that we need to move towards just transitions when it involves energy. And of course, solar and wind as renewable energy are very viable when it comes to moving towards just transitions away from the dirty fossil fuel industry. And you can actually provide more jobs and more economic growth if you start moving towards renewable energy. And we see that happening all across the United States already. The solar panels that are being put up along the route are all made here in the USA, all, you know, American-made products. And so it's providing long-term job growth for the United States.
So they're literally putting up solar panels in the path of the pipeline. If commissioners vote to approve the pipeline, then TransCanada's workers will have to contend with these solar panels in the pathway, setting up for a some kind of civil disobedience of the kind we might have seen at Standing Rock?
Well, Nebraska, I highly doubt that there's going to be any kind of like major, there's not going to be any big camps here when it comes to Nebraska. But there is going to be, if should it get approved, there probably will be at least some sort of of civil disobedience. And the solar panels are definitely a way of saying that, you know, we don't want Keystone XL here. We want renewable energy and jobs that are for the long term, not the short term. The fossil fuel industry is a dying industry. And the tar sands is some of the dirtiest oil in the entire world. And a lot of the tar sands production up in Canada is going under and stopping. The Keystone One pipeline is only running at 71%. It's not even be running at full capacity right now. This is an unneeded pipeline. We do not need Keystone XL.
So the fight that took place in Standing Rock against the Dakota Access Pipeline, which, you know, came close to a victory under Obama and unfortunately, like Keystone, has been revived. What lessons were learned at Standing Rock? Are you seeing a lot of activists who were in Standing Rock showing up here in Nebraska? Is there a sort of coming together of these movements opposing these fossil fuel pipelines?
Absolutely, there is a coming together. You know, it's important to remember that the Dakota Access Pipeline fight is not over. And that there is still a resistance camp to Dakota Access Pipeline. That camp is on the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation right now, called the Wakpaw Washday Camp. We're still fighting against Dakota Access. There's oil running through it, but there is a federal judge that's deciding, you know, what to do with that pipeline right now. Because it was shown that there was no EIS done. So Dakota Access is not done yet. But the lessons that we've learned from that particular fight are that, one, we need to stay unified. Two, we need to stay a nonviolent direct you know, direct action. And three, that spirituality, our prayer was a big force of that. We were asked, the spirits asked us to take up that fight of Mini Wichoni, or water is life, elsewhere, to everybody else's homes. And so that's part of the reason why you see Mini Wichoni, the cry of Mini Wichoni, being raised from Portland to Puyallup in Tacoma to Washington to, you know, Florida, all over to, you know, all the way as far as the United Kingdom to New Zealand, everywhere. That's what we were asked to do. So water is a unifying force. It is a unifying element. It's something that, I mean, everybody needs. Without water, there literally is no life. So you do see protectors and land defenders coming here to support the people here in Nebraska.
And in Nebraska, is there a drinking water source that would be directly threatened by a potential leak from a future Keystone XL pipeline?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a huge, amazing aquifer called the Oglala Aquifer. And should that pipeline leak, especially along the sand hills, or anywhere over the Oglala Aquifer, you can't clean that up. The Kalamazoo leak that happened in Michigan, they said that it's cleaned up. You go down there right now, you still find tar balls in the Kalamazoo River. You can't clean up tar sands. The industry doesn't know how to clean up tar sands when it spills. So should this pipeline leak, the Oglala Aquifer, which feeds the breadbasket of America, would be hugely affected. And every single one of us would be affected that way.
So there is the issue of water safety. There's the issue of the broader global warming of our planet. What about Nebraska farmers themselves? I mean, this, you said this is farmland. Are Nebraska residents fairly unified on being against this pipeline, or is there a sector of the population that's seduced by the idea, or I should say maybe myth, of job creation?
Yeah, there's definitely a sector of Nebraska that is seduced by the myth that there's going to be job creation and they call it taxes. However,
Reuters, I'm looking at this article by Reuters, a mainstream, pretty straightforward news source, and it said, Donald Trump has said the project would create 28,000 jobs nationwide, but a 2014 State Department study predicted just 3,900 construction jobs, meaning while the construction was going on, and 35 permanent jobs. That's it, 35 permanent jobs for this entire
35
pipeline.
35 permanent jobs. So they're predicting between 35 to 50 permanent jobs along the Keystone XL route. Wow. There's only going to be about 3,900 jobs as far as creation is confirmed, job creation. Those are with the pipeline workers. A lot of those pipeline workers are brought into the area. We saw that with Dakota Access. They've already said that they would bring in pipeline workers from Oklahoma and elsewhere. So it's not job creation for Nebraska. It's not good for Nebraska. Those pipeline workers move. They stay 6 to 8 weeks in one area, and then they move to another area. Excuse me. So it's not permanent jobs. They're very temporary jobs, very temporal jobs. And as far as taxes go, there's actually a loophole in the Nebraska state tax structure in the law that says that should TransCanada apply for this particular loophole, then they don't have to pay property taxes. And they don't have to pay for like 10 years. And they're definitely looking at that right now, should this get approved. So there won't be the property taxes that TransCanada is promising for Nebraska.
Well, Joy, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Where can people find out more about what's happening in Nebraska, maybe a website for the Indigenous Environmental Network, any Twitter hashtags you can give out?
Yeah, they can definitely go to IENEarth.org. They can go to boldnebraska.org and get more information, and our Indigenous Rising .org, which is IEN's media page.
So we'll post links to all of those from our website later today, and we'll of course continue to cover this story and follow what the decision is that the commissioners arrive at. Joy, good luck to you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
My guest is Joy Braun. She is the frontline community organizer for the Indigenous Environmental Network and worked closely with Bold Nebraska, Sierra Club, and 350.org to organize the weekend protests in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Also find us on Facebook, Twitter, iTunes, and Vimeo.